If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It's May 28th, 2025. This is The Hump. We've got Jimmy Van. Jimmy, how you doing?
Good, Sean Ross Sapp. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm okay.
You and I talked off the air about this. I'm going to ask you right out of the chute. What do you think about Triller?
I mean, it sucks because I thought they were very good. They're a very good platform. Just hoping that, I don't know, hoping it all comes around. But I mean, it looks like some pretty bad management.
Do you mean a good platform from a like fight perspective?
User standpoint. Yeah. Very good platform. I really enjoyed it. Has had a great like array of content, stuff like that, and easy to purchase, easy to navigate, libraries, easy to use, all that. Keeps a great, nice, neat history of all the things you purchased or used codes on. I thought it was a very good platform, or is a very good platform technically, but I'm just like, man, I'm worried about it for sure.
Yeah. Oh, they're done. And you know, it's funny. There have been so many companies like this. It was a tech company, right? Like before they were a fight promoter or whatever, they were an app. And we've seen so many situations where venture capital companies, I should create a tech, Sean. Venture capital companies are throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at these tech companies, at these apps. And Triller from the very beginning was smoke and mirrors from the very start.
Yeah. Oh, I thought so as well.
And a lot of their subscribers were Indian because they came along around the same time as TikTok, and TikTok didn't allow Indian subscribers and Triller did. And from the beginning, there were smoke and mirrors. And then they decided, let's get into bed with Jake Paul, which probably made them nothing.
Yeah.
Probably. Like just really bad management in terms of business and money management. And it's no surprise, man. It's unfortunate because people are going to lose their jobs, but apparently a lot of people haven't been paid in weeks already. But
yeah. I mean,
it's unfortunate, bad management.
I tried to get details around what was up with the double or nothing thing. Nobody's talking right now, but usually that comes down to a money issue. Almost always that comes down to something about money and people making sure that they get what they're owed and the like. And that's unfortunate. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of their previous pay-per-views purchased on there and,
right.
They really prefer that. I mean, obviously Triller used to be Fight, right? Which
I think they acquired Fight, I think, at one point.
Do you remember what Fight was before?
No.
The Flips app.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Remember who was instrumental in that?
No.
Jeff Jarrett.
Ah.
Jeff Jarrett was a big person, big proponent in the Flips app. And for those that I'm familiar with it because I did a bunch of promotion for it when I worked at Wrestling Inc. They broadcasted the first Wrestle Kingdom event that aired live in the United States back then. And that was a big deal. And that's how that really helped get a little bit of notoriety. I was covering at the time, there was another aggregator on Wrestling Inc. So I was like, let me cover everything he's not covering. And there was no New Japan coverage outside of Dave, but nobody on like the free end of things.
Yeah.
So I had Carl Anderson be like, yeah, let's talk. And AJ, I believe, did an interview with us at the time. Little did we know what they would be up to a few days later. But man, that was an insane time. So it's been since then that I have been doing coverage on or around the Flips, Fight, Triller app situation, all that stuff, over 10 years. Not a bad run, I got to say. Not a bad run.
They probably they'd probably disagree with you.
I'm sure.
Although the I'm sure the founders probably made their money, you know.
Yeah,
they got hundreds of millions of venture capital money, but I don't know. I mean, I can tell you this, and I don't think I'm speaking out of tune saying this because I think it's pretty well known. You remember when Tommy Dreamer was trying to do pay-per-view?
I don't know.
Yeah, Dreamer had a promotion prior to AEW, I believe, and they did iPay-per-view.
Okay.
And I knew people involved, and they were getting crushed by pirating.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with the pay-per-view model. And
I mean,
so
we get crushed by pirating too. It's everywhere.
Sure. Yeah.
It's the nature of it. And
It's just very difficult. It's a difficult business model. And that's why I think eventually AEW is going to go the way of WWE, and they're going to get a streaming partner for pay-per-view eventually.
This is why I will scream to the rooftops. Hey, any company, any advertiser, do you want to sign Fightful to an exclusive sponsorship? Listen, guys, go to your favorite gigantic company and say, give
Fightful. Your favorite gigantic company.
Your favorite gigantic company. Go sponsor Fightful Scoops. Go sponsor their podcast. Just pay them enough money to never do a paywall again, and then we won't do it. So there you go.
You remember the company that wanted to do business with us, but they wanted to host the site?
I do.
Without saying who they are, and I immediately shut it down when they wanted to host the site. That would have been a situation.
It was a very big company.
Yeah, it was, but it would have been a bullshit deal. And that's an example where if they had said, we will give you X money guaranteed every month.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
and, I don't want to say names or anything.
Yeah.
But what I mentioned, like I'd say half jokingly earlier, was a business proposal that I was brought from somebody who tried to lure me away from you a few years ago. And, to give you guys a little background, again, without saying who they are, maybe they'll want to say at some point. They contacted me and they said, so here's my idea. We do a wrestling website, no paywalls, no ads, no nothing. The only ad is my company. And I was like, well, how will that work? And then they laid down the money to me and they were like, I only need to convert, I think they said 4 or 5, whatever it was that they had, whatever it was in a year in order for them to make their money back. And I was like, not the worst idea I've ever heard, to be honest with you, like considering the line of work that they were in. I was like, not the worst idea.
Wouldn't work long term.
Yeah.
Long term. Yeah. And it's funny because someone else might've been involved that I almost hired before you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you made the right choice?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I knew after the first phone call. I told you this. You know this. Yeah. So, yeah. I love it when you and I do this Easter egg stuff because people in the chat are like, what the hell are they talking about?
We are up on like 9 years. Like this is about the time of the year 9 years ago that you hit me up. And I've been pretty transparent about it. Like I was the place I was working before, I was on food stamps. And then I was covering politics, sports, and then the person that headed up where I worked was like, oh, no, you can't do that. You're exclusive to us. And I said, I can't afford to pay my bills. And then
now he's eating Wagyu beef and lobster tail.
Yeah.
Good job, Sean.
It was, and you know what? Despite the fact that you pay me exponentially more than them, you've never said, no, don't do this spot with another website that might help you or might help us.
Yeah,
like,
no, I've never.
And I think that's pretty clear with the vision that you had. But yeah, it was about this time of year. I'm going to see if I still got that email. It was, oh, look at that. You reached out on May 20th, 2016.
Wow. Almost to the day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look at that. Right. What are we going to do for the 10-year, the Fightful 10-year?
I got ideas.
Do you? A big raise.
We'll wait until we're closer, but I have an idea. I have an idea. We'll wait till we're closer.
Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. You know, maybe one day we will do just some more shows about the behind the scenes of Fightful and the like. Jimmy, you haven't done a Q&A in like 234 years, but that's because we pretty much do one here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
get
yeah.
in your super chats.
Do you think we're ever going to mention names?
There are some names that I don't know if we can mention because there are probably NDAs associated with it. I know everybody in wrestling thinks that an NDA means that somebody got assaulted, right? But it's just common in business when you're trying to make deals and stuff like that. But
mine might've been 5 years with that other individual. I have to go back and look. Might've been five.
Was it with the person that you considered hiring?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I didn't.
I got to double check. Might have been five. I'll have to go back and look.
Boy, you would start a spiral from somebody else.
Would I ever? Yeah.
Boy, you would be the subject of some ad-filled Q&A answers there. But James Zimmerman says counter-programming everything looks weak to me. Well, we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot more. Sort of tongue in cheek. I'm getting a little clickbaity with the thumbnails, but I don't care. It's just the way that we got to go sometimes. But Tony P says, could you ever see WWE's counter programming, AEW's plan backfiring? Just asking, because the way AEW was trending heavily over NXT, some fans watching both, yet more were focused on Double or Nothing. I feel WWE in July move will hurt Great American Bash and Evolution, not AEW. So let's talk about this, Jimmy.
Okay, let me say this first. I saw somebody post about the Google Trends, and I don't want to disrespect AEW because AEW is doing well. The reason that they trended heavier than WWE was because it was a pay-per-view and people are looking to get it for free. That's just a fact. When it comes to pay-per-views, people will Google it because they're looking for a stream.
NXT's behind a paywall too.
Yeah, I know, but it's different. It's different. You know, Peacock and outside of the US, it's free on Netflix. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Quite the same.
Especially, Jimmy, when you have NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, why the heck would I need that, Sean? Well, if you're a wrestling fan, right now, you get it for, I think it's 2 years and 4 months. And the entire subscription for that period is cheaper than 1 month of cable TV. I have completely cut the cable cord at this point. And if you watch wrestling, especially WWE, you need NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs, but that's not it. If you buy AEW pay-per-views, you can get the prices that they're getting overseas. And let me tell you, it's getting a little bit harder to get those AEW pay-per-views here in the States at a more reduced price. So get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Listen to your favorites abroad on the fastest VPN in the world. They have a plethora of services. It works on all your operating systems, all your devices. You might go, Sean, I don't know if I'm going to know how to use it. Trust me, whether it's your phone, desktop, laptop, PC, router, smart TV, I've got it on, I think, five things up here in this office. And at first, I wasn't exactly sure how to use it, but they have 24/7 tech support. I hit them up and they're like, here's all you got to do. Download the app, turn it on, switch your virtual location. Good to go. It's as easy as that. Netflix is insanely chill about VPNs. They just want your subscription. That's it. They don't care if you pretend you're from Lithuania. They just want your subscription. And this can save you a bunch of money in a time where money isn't as robust. Dollar doesn't go as far, but by God, it does with NordVPN.com/Fightful and 30-day money-back guarantee. But
especially if you live in Canada, Sean.
Especially if you live in Canada. So here's the deal with the AEW and WWE counter-programming. Like, it's so, for some background, for those of you who haven't been paying attention and don't live online, AEW announced All In. They announced it well ahead of time, understanding the risk of possibly being counter-programmed. Not only did WWE counter-program, they planned out 3 different shows that weekend just to get every single spot that they could possibly get. They were throwing darts at a board, Jimmy, to hit the right time. And they went 0-for-2. And then finally they said, to hell with it. We'll just run NXT that day as well. That weekend, they are planning on running NXT in the afternoon, which, as the person says, does this hurt NXT? Yeah, it hurts NXT. It's very unfortunate. Then that night, they're going to run what is likely to be Goldberg's retirement match. And then the next night, Evolution 2, which is the most here, damn, that I've ever seen WWE do.
Are the two shows, NXT and Saturday Night's Main Event, they in the same venue?
I think so.
Really?
I think so. So that will be interesting to kind of watch. With the women, there's other elements of this, Jimmy. They've got these women, first off, in Evolution that they weren't told about. They just heard online rumors. Next door to a Beyonce concert in Atlanta. So it's going to be especially expensive probably to get hotels that weekend for WWE fans just for the sake of it. Now, I thought they would probably end up running Texas. I really did. Because they'll do things like that. Like they'll run Phoenix a couple weeks after Double or Nothing, or London a couple weeks
before. Before if they can.
If they can.
Yeah.
And you'll hear a couple different things.
Well, AEW wanted competition. Now they got it.
Yeah, we understand. Like, great. You think you're a businessman. We get it, Twitter. We understand. But WWE doesn't do this for just no reason. They do it for a reason.
Of course.
Do you think they feel threatened by AEW, or is it them trying to crush AEW before they become a threat?
Yeah, it's not. They're not threatened by AEW. So here's my first question for you. They've been doing this now for a couple of years when it comes to AEW, and they've been doing this in general for decades, WWE. They've been notoriously cutthroat going back to the 80s. A lot of people, if you're a newer fan, might not know this. The Royal Rumble was created in 88 as a live television special that they put on USA Network to counter program Jim Crockett Promotions pay-per-view, whatever the pay-per-view was at the time. That's how it happened. Vince McMahon, when they created the Survivor Series, created it to go head-to-head with the Jim Crockett show, and he went to the cable providers and said, if you want Survivor Series, you're not running their show. They've been doing this forever. Why are people up in arms now? Is it because they're doing more of it? Is that the reason?
Way more of it. And I think Tony was right. Tony Khan was asked about it on the media call, and he said this has been the busiest counter-programming effort since the Jim Crockett Promotions era. And he's right. It is. Now, you'll also have a lot of people say, well, WCW did it. Yeah, they did. That, like, we're comparing putting NXT against, you know, this one night thing to this Monday night versus Monday night effort. A little bit different.
Yeah.
TNA did try to do it. And
Monday night.
What we have seen is the lesser of the two often tries to counter program. And in a lot of ways, what they're trying to do is take market share. They're trying to take some of the habitual audience away from WWE. And for WCW, it worked. And it's amazing that it worked, but it doesn't happen a lot. With WWE, back in the day, they came in with something like the Royal Rumble, which was an amazing concept. And it's hard to hear that and go, well, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, I don't have a problem with them doing it. I'm just like, okay, well, no, it's more mind-boggling to me that fan base pretends like WWE doesn't care. Because what you'll see out of a section is, you wanted competition, now you got competition. It's like, yeah, I wanted competition because I don't know if you all watched when there wasn't competition, but it fucking sucked. It was really bad.
It hasn't been very good lately either.
And not doing great now. And I'm just sitting here like, damn, would y'all just put more energy into your own show, into that? Because I've seen a lot of people say, oh, well, AEW should be putting more into their own show besides talking about WWE. And they have. And what happened? It got better. It got a lot better.
So I if anybody should be upset about this, it should be the talent. Because I think one of the reasons. So to answer your question, is WWE threatened by AEW? Not directly. What WWE is threatened by is escalating talent contracts because there's another place to go. What WWE is threatened by is, like you said, losing market share. Yeah. That's what they're threatened by. AEW business-wise is not a threat to WWE. They're not on the same level number-wise, but they created an alternative for talent, and contracts have gone up as a result. They want to keep that down. They've been doing this forever. And do you remember a couple of years ago when they started doing it, and Tony Khan had the meltdown at the scrum?
Yes.
And I said
we're
to you
on this shit anymore.
And I said to you on this podcast, I said, Triple H and Nick Khan are going to see that reaction and they are going to look at the AEW schedule and they are going to counter program every AEW PLE because they saw the reaction this time around. But I thought Tony did a good job. So in the Double or Nothing post show, right? When he was asked about the counter programming and he kind of smiled and said, it's going to go different than it did with Jim Crockett, something like that. He handled it much better this time. But this is something that's just going to happen because, like I said, WWE, every quarter, they got to show positive momentum. They have to show an increase in profits. They have shareholders to appease to. They don't want talent contracts to escalate because they already have been. This is why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want to keep their market share where it is or even maximize it. They don't want AEW to grow any more than they already have. It's just going to keep happening. People just have to accept it because that's what it is. It's going to keep happening.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And I mean, it feels like they leaned out of doing that actually a little bit more after Tony Khan had what you called the meltdown before. But I would take it as a compliment if I were him. Like, the fact that they care enough to do this, they did not do this as much against TNA. They absolutely did not.
I mean, TNA wasn't competing with them on talent at all, really. They were taking their cast
a little bit. So, I mean, this is a conversation that I had on my Q&A show. Back in the mid to late 2000s, a lot of it was they just wanted to go somewhere where they could make decent money and work a lighter schedule because the WWE schedule was insane. Right. Nowadays, the WWE schedule isn't that bad anymore, like with the live events. So WWE has had to compete in that sense. They got rid of live events. They've given much larger guarantees. Mr. Straightfire says, Fightful reported the minimum main roster salary in WWE was $350K. Does this apply to managers, for example? Someone like Scarlett, is it for both male and female wrestlers? It is supposed to be for both male and female wrestlers. I don't know about managers. I will ask about that, but that's what you're talking about, Jimmy. They don't want people to get their salaries up.
Of course.
I mean, this is TKO, which is the partner company of UFC or has Dana White UFC under their umbrella, who notoriously underpay fighters to the point to where literally everybody looking into this TKO boxing thing is like, well, how could this possibly last long? Because what respectable boxer would give up their piece of the pie in order to do things the TKO way? Now, this is something that you and I have brought up a number of times over the last however many years. And what you will see is, again, a bunch of Twitter businessmen try to pretend like it doesn't matter. WWE answers to shareholders. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they answer to television partners as well. For example, USA Network a number of years ago were like, hey, just so y'all know, we don't give a shit about your silly little ratings war. We want more numbers for our show. So NXT to Tuesdays, please. And they put their foot down there. WWE has to answer to shareholders. They have to try to maximize profit, revenue, all that. AEW answers to WBD and the sole owners of the company. That's it. If Tony and Shad Khan decide, yeah, we're happy just running this at cost, or if they say, we're happy running this at a $1 million loss, well, that's their decision. They're private owners. And they get to deem what they consider a success. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of people on social media that like to pretend that that's not a real thing, but that's the way a lot of businesses run. Jimmy, you ran this company at a loss for a long time. And if you deemed that a success, that's what you deemed a success. It's all in the eyes of whoever owns that property And right now, Tony Khan and Chad Khan own it, and they seem pretty damn happy with the way things are going. And
I mean, Tony knew going in, right? So he knew going in that I have to fund this thing. He knew it. Because if you want to have a top level show from a production standpoint, it's not free. If you want to be able to go after the top talent, from the very beginning, they were going after the John Moxleys, the Chris Jerichos, guys like that. And they had the advantage in that guys like Moxley and Jericho were burned out at WWE. But at the same time, Jericho's come forward and said, this is the most lucrative contract in my career. So Tony Khan paid top dollar from the beginning. So he knew that he was going to be underwater, but he had kind of a long-term vision similar to what I had with Fightful. He knew you have to get over the hump and then the money would be there. And that's kind of where they're at now. But, but the counter programming, it just doesn't surprise me. And I understand people not liking it because, well, now I have to choose what show I'm going to watch live, right? Unless I have two screens going. I understand from a fan perspective. Sure. From a business perspective, this is just how it is. It's all WWE wanting to try to do their best to keep AEW from getting bigger so that, you know, they don't keep going after their talent for the money they're spending. And that's just how it is.
And honestly, what I expect is WWE to punch themselves out on the counter programming, because then it becomes very expensive, very exhausting for a lot of people to do that. Again, they ended up scheduling a Evolution next door to Beyonce. I heard from multiple girls about that. They're like,
why? Because they want up for failure. I was gonna say why? Because they'd rather go see Beyonce.
Oh, there's a number of people that told me that if they get brought in there, and I'll elaborate on that later on. But there are some other elements. By the way, guys, I got all your super chats, Humper chats, right here. But there was a thing where Jonathan Coachman, who clearly has contacts, it was still with WWE, said that Vince wants to repurchase WWE. And Cool Fool says, will TKO ever sell the property? Vince cannot afford to buy WWE anymore. He can't afford it.
Vince can buy 2K25.
Yes.
You can buy that.
He can go on his Cash App and buy a few stocks if he wants. What he can do.
Buy some action figures in a ring.
Yes, that's what he can do. They have improved the market value so much. And what I'll say, Jimmy, is for years on this show, you and I both said, yeah, they'd be fine without Vince from a business perspective, from a booking perspective. They do not need Vince. But Vince had brainwashed so many people into believing that he's what held up the house of cards. And if you pull him out, everything collapses. No, it can't possibly run without Vince.
Yeah.
And then what happened within a few months of him retiring? He saw the tide shifting. He saw them need him, or he saw them not need him. And then he bull rushed his way back in and screwed up things just a little bit more. Mm. Oh, man.
And well, the funny thing too is I still think back to Mercedes did an interview one time when she was still Sasha Banks. And Hunter at that time was getting involved with talent, but Vince was still there. And what Mercedes said was, she said, I don't even talk to Vince. Hunter's the guy I know from NXT.
Yeah.
So that crop of talent that was coming in then, they had no relationship with Vince, really. They had no dealings with Vince. To them, it was already kind of Hunter. So, I mean, I did not hear that Coach said Vince wants to rebuy WWE. That's the first I've heard of it. Sure he does. That's nice.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Vince McMahon on the other side of this break. Our wonderful partners at BetOnline.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG. The highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line, so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
All of our lock picks on Sunday hit as well. Tony and Mercedes, a smooth 28 for 28 in Bet Online AG lock picks since we started this bad boy. We want to thank them for being a good partner. As of now, our deal with them ends in just a few days. But Jimmy, another deal has been reached post-wrestling with some. First off, I just want to say this. Support original creators. Check out post-wrestling. I'm sure Pollock and Thurston have a great segment on what they're probably the majority of their show, honestly, on this. But John Laurinaitis dropped from the lawsuit, Janelle Grant's lawsuit, and according to her attorney, has offered to, as a result of this, turn over evidence for Janelle Grant. So 3 years ago, Jimmy, when I reported that Vince McMahon was out of the company, we reported ahead of time, John Laurinaitis is like, they're going to fire him. It's absolutely going to happen. He's going to be the fall guy. It will happen. And then he got fired and then he became the fall guy. Didn't last. Vince had to leave and both of them got sued. Whew. This could be big. This is probably some of the most important information to emerge from this lawsuit since the first time it was filed, Jimmy.
It's going to make a great sequel to the Mr. McMahon documentary on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
You know, John Laurinaitis has turned in babyface and heel more than Big Show.
I'll say this. He ain't turned babyface. Not yet.
Well, no.
He ain't babyface for the stuff we've heard about him.
Yeah. Compared to Vince, I suppose he has, but it's interesting. So for anybody who maybe you're not familiar with the nitty gritty, we can recap this really quickly. So Janelle Grant files this lawsuit against John Laurinaitis and Vince, alleges sex trafficking and rape and some other horrendous things. Johnny Ace releases a statement basically painting himself as a victim, saying that he was a victim of Vince McMahon. And so right out of the shoot, it felt like, okay, Johnny Ace is going to flip on Vince to cover his ass. Then he pulls a 180 and he joins Vince's lawsuit. And the reason he did that, probably number one, financially driven because of legal costs probably. And number two, there's precedence for defendants having more luck if they come together in the same suit as opposed to trying it separately. That's why he did it. Now he's flipped again to cover his ass because this is pure self-preservation.
And jumping off the ship, buddy.
Yeah, can you blame him, right? So now he's no longer defendant. He's been dismissed from the suit. There is a confidential settlement. And in exchange for that, he has agreed to provide evidence to Janelle Grant's attorneys against Vince McMahon and WWE. And I'm sure he's got a lot of intel. So it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Firing up those old Nokia phones right now. He's got, buddy.
Yeah.
How does this affect potential criminal investigations or anything like that? Because just because they didn't pursue criminal charges, I believe the FBI, it doesn't mean that they can't. It's not like they try. Sorry, what's that?
You mean against Johnny Ace?
Against anybody, against Vince, against Johnny Ace, and anybody. If the evidence that is turned over indicates sex trafficking,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like they tried him and he was acquitted or anything like that and can't try him again. This is just, they didn't do it. So if more evidence comes along, certainly they could.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, the feds raided Vince now, like what, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I know that Vince, when he released that Twitter post about, the disagreement or whatever it was with the SEC has been finalized or whatever. It's hard for me to believe that the FBI raided him strictly over the SEC and strictly over, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's more to it, but we'll see what comes out in discovery. I sure that Vince is, I know that you've said that Janelle's side doesn't want to settle. But at the same time,
she seems really keen on them getting to discovery.
Right. Yeah. At the same time, Vince is a billionaire and this is a civil lawsuit that's going to end in a financial decision because it's civil. It's not criminal.
Sure.
So maybe Vince is like, you know what? I don't want this hassle. Here's $100 million. Who knows?
Yeah. And the closer that they get to discovery, the higher that number is going to be.
Especially now with John Laurinaitis, you know, providing intel as well. I mean, Vince's attorneys, I'm sure, have to know that this is not good. And you know what they're going to do now is they're probably going to try to discredit John Laurinaitis. They're probably going to try to, crap on his character, his credibility, and try to make him, try to discredit him as a witness.
I'll say this, won't be tough to do. It will not be tough to do at all.
Thanks for a lot of it, right? So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. I am very interested in how this unfolds again. I think it's probably the most, as I was talking to Corey Brennan earlier, because one of our staff members was like, do we really need to do a graphic on this? And I was like, we are a wrestling news site, so yes, we do. And Corey said, yeah, this is probably the biggest piece of information to emerge from that since the filing, since the original filing, that Royal Rumble week. But guys, we got Vince is not getting charged with Trump in the White House. Well, he can get charged. It's just there's a very good chance he could get pardoned immediately afterwards.
Possibly. I think it would depend on the media backlash, because like if stuff in Discovery, like a lot, this lawsuit is still kind of underground a little bit. Like we know it because we're wrestling fans, but it hasn't been covered heavily in the mainstream. But if stuff comes out of Discovery that's really, really bad, it's going to get out there. And even the White House, do you really want to be touching that with a 10-foot pole? If there's some just really heinous stuff that can be proven, I guess we'll see.
Jimmy, did you see who's getting pardoned?
I saw your tweet about it because I don't follow Grizzlies. These people, but I don't follow them at all.
When I go for my runs, I literally run past the correctional complex that the wife is staying in.
Like, what'd they do to get out pretty soon anyway? Within the next year or
couple
two?
It was a few years. I think it's 2028.
Okay.
USA will probably be the lead in for SmackDown pretty soon, buddy.
I've never seen the show, but I just don't like that guy's face.
It's a pretty stupid face, I will say. Matt Hennessy says TKO ain't gonna sell to WWE. Or sell WWE to Vince. People forget after the merger happened, the first thing they did was kick Vince out of creative, demoted him to a figurehead with no power, and that was before Janelle Grant. Well, I don't think they particularly care who they would hypothetically sell it to. They're not going to, because Vince can't afford it.
Yeah.
But if somebody came along and offered them a too good to be true number, they're going to sell it. That's just the point of it. But they have a lot. I mean, they're trying to work away at their debt that they have from some of their big loans and trying to get that down before the interest hits and all that. That's more what it has to do with. Right now, WWE is a money-making machine. They are very wisely selling WrestleManias years ahead while they are white hot in case they cool down in the future. Mm-hmm. They're getting that money while they can. It's a very, very smart thing, but TKO or the parent company Endeavor, all that stuff, whatever it is that's tied to all this, does have, you know, they got a lot of debt that they got to get paid off, Jimmy.
Yep. I haven't followed that in a while. I think that they've already been having to deal with the debt now, but I haven't been following it. But you're right. If let's just kind of spitball. Jeff Bezos connects with Vince McMahon. Let's buy WWE for $15 billion. TKO is going to sell WWE to Vince McMahon and Jeff Bezos for $15 billion. Like it would happen, but it's just not going to happen. It's just not. And whoever is throwing out these grandiose visions, talk about something else. Not going to happen.
So we've got super chats, humper chats, plenty of them. Let's go ahead, get to them. We got Tony saying, SRS, weird question. Is it possible that Ishii has a dual contract with AEW on the low, seeing as both companies seem to be allowing them? Also, any WWE wrestlers privately gave you their opinions on Double or Nothing show or Anarchy in the Arena? I mean, I chat along with the show with plenty of WWE wrestlers. I mean, I know that there were a number of women's wrestlers who were watching the Mercedes-Jamie Hayter match, had some really positive thoughts on that. Very, very rarely is it, man, this company sucks, etc. It's almost always like
probably just the length of the show, right?
It's probably some of that, little bit of that, but not that much. It like if you guys saw the way that these wrestlers reacted to the opposing show,
they're friends,
man. Yeah, like it is so played up. Our thumbnail is played up. I'll straight up say that our thumbnail is played up. Because that's the way that people act, man. It's almost a parody of how people act. But I don't think that Ishii has a dual contract, but I will ask. I think that he's just able to work over here. James Zimmerman says, wish I could be here for the show. You all rock. Well, hey, we're just glad Jimmy's here for the show for a change. Darren Walker, my good friend, says, Sean, any reason why no Dr. Martha Hart at the final or in promotion for the Owen before the show? Heard nothing from wrestling media why she's not there. I asked. I have not been given an answer, but here's what I'll tell you as far as the trend of how things went. The first year was the first year. They were going to have her there, all that. The last 2 years were in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. You know, a little bit more of a common sense trip for her and all that. This one in Arizona, don't know necessarily she's got Arizona ties, but by now we also know this woman deeply endorses AEW and this tournament and what they have provided. But I don't think there was anything like more than meets the eye there. In my opinion, WWE right now is 2015 levels of bland and uninspired. I'll disagree with this for just one reason. The talent is so much better right now than it was in 2015. So that at least gives me some hope. But it has not been good lately, Jimmy.
Uninspired is a good word, I think. I mean, it seems like every year there's this post-WrestleMania lull, it feels like, because all the stories play out at WrestleMania. But for the most part, let's talk about John Cena, Sean.
Yeah, we have to?
Well, I just want to... So I've seen a particular criticism of him that I think is a real good fit, and I want to ask your thoughts on it.
Okay.
A criticism I've seen of John Cena is he's not believable as a bad guy. He's believable as a person playing a bad guy character. And those are two different things. And to me, that's a very good way to sum up John Cena. It's hard to buy in to him as a heel because of, I think, a few reasons. I think the first reason is just him portraying the character. I don't think he's been great. He's already teasing that he's going to turn back because everybody knows by the end of the year, he's good guy John Cena and he's going out, you know, on the white horse. Everybody knows it. That's one reason. I think another reason is right after the heel turn happened, which got all this praise, there's The Rock at the scrum raising the curtain, talking to the behind the scenes about how it came together. There's Triple H doing podcasts, raising the curtain, talking about how it came together. Kind of hard to get into it when these guys are immediately kind of telling you, oh, John loved it. John was totally in on it. It hasn't worked. And now he's going to be teaming with Logan Paul in a match I don't think anybody cares to see.
Matthew Hamm said, is Travis Scott still playing for Money in the Bank? I haven't even heard him mentioned in like the last month on WWE TV. I don't know if there's more than meets the eye there, but I'm with you, Jimmy. Like,
I mean, you know that you know what they're promoting now. Yeah, and you know what they're promoting now? They're promoting, so Cena this week is on Stephanie's show on ESPN, right? Mm-hmm. Stephanie's Places. So now they're promoting it. You're seeing clips everywhere of Cena being cool and nice and funny and wearing the suit and you know, charming. And you're seeing that everywhere.
Yeah, it's a work. Like, we know it's a work.
I know that, but you know, when Hogan turned heel in 96 and it was a different time and we didn't have social media the way we do now, I get it. When he turned heel in 96, he didn't then come out and do a media scrum like an hour later saying, yeah, so this is what happened. I went to Eric and I said, you know, this NWO thing, brother, you know what I'm saying? They didn't just reveal their hand right after it happened. I think that played a part in how this isn't working. But here's my question for you, Sean. They got 6 months left, right? How did they get it back on the rails? Because so I really liked that he had a match with Randy Orton because he had to, right? And there's other guys that he has to. He's got to get in the ring with Punk. He's got to get in the ring with AJ Styles. I would love to see Joe Henry because Joe Henry really wants it. I think it'd be interesting. But how did they get it back on the rails? Because no one gives a shit about him teaming with Logan Paul. Him and Cody's probably going to happen at the end of the year, I'm guessing, for the title. How do they get from where we are now in May to December and get this back on the rails?
Like, I understand them trying to get sympathy off the R-Truth thing. I understand you got to have Cody come back and get some sort of vengeance because he got really hosed through those situations. But I really felt like the best bet for this was John Cena actually beating a lot of people in title matches and making you go, oh, are they going to have him retire as heel champion? And is he going to take that title? Like a real threat of it. When CM Punk did the Summer of Punk, it's like there's a real threat he won't lose it. WWE won't let him lose the ROH title before he comes to WWE. Will he take it there? Even when the Dudley Boys won the ECW tag titles, when everybody knew they were going to WWF, it's like, oh my God, did ECW cuck themselves for WWF here? Is this happening? And then they lose it to Tommy Dreamer and Raven that night. Like, there has to be that threat of this actually happening. WWE has not made you think one moment that John Cena, first off, gives a shit about this heel run, much less is buying into it himself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help that The Rock just vanished. Just doesn't help. It neutered a lot of this. And the fact that they haven't even mentioned it neuters it as well. Mm-hmm. Because this was supposed to be a John Cena doing things the corporate way thing. And he's the one guy that could get away with a you people promo and you believe it because it works for him. But it's been so lazy and uninspired and a trope and just played out.
And he's done like five you people promos.
Yeah.
Right.
And then
cool when he did it once.
He gets RKO'd,
and then when
he did it a month later. Crossroads.
It's always the same thing. Always. And the other thing that kind of bothers me, and I know I'm kind of nitpicking now. You notice when Cena takes the finisher, he lays dead. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like he'll take the crossroads and he lays. What's that?
He's old, Jimmy.
But he lays dead. And I just watch him and I think to myself, have you forgotten how to sell? Because like you never used to do that. He just lays dead when he takes the one move. But yeah, I don't know. Uninspired is a good term for it. I don't believe Cena, like you said, maybe he's not bought into it himself. But I'm just not buying it. They got to do a better job. R-Truth was only his second match after Cody, only his second match after the title, and he's already teasing that maybe I'm making the wrong decision being a bad guy. He's already teasing it in a second match. Hasn't been good. I'm going to still hope. You got Punk down the line. You got AJ Styles down the line. They got a crop of good young talent.
Yeah.
I hope that something comes together, but yeah, uninspired. Good term.
We have a bunch more super chats and humper chats. If this is your first time watching, we are live every night. Make sure you tune in, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you just like hearing me and Jimmy, we have a bunch of action figure videos, AEWA, Remco Matt Mania, LJN variants, a lot of cool stuff like that that you guys can check out here on youtube.com/Fightful. Last week, we had Gabe Kidd, Prince Nana, and Muhammad Hassan. Last night was Muhammad Hassan's Dark Side of the Ring, which in a very flattering turn was basically just the feature that I wrote 10 years ago, of which I met Muhammad Hassan, and he said in that interview that had he not done that interview with me, he might not be doing Dark Side of the Ring or interviews with Chris Van Vliet and all that. So check that out. Nearly 40-minute interview. And we've got Matt Cardona coming up this week. But let's get these super chats and humper chats in. Also, a thing I want to plug today, Luis is firing up the Espanol Instagrams and Facebooks. So if you see those are legit Fightful Espanol accounts. Rocky Romero hit me up and he's like, hey, see, you got the Twitter. You need to get on Instagram and Facebook with the Espanol audience. So Luis leading the charge for that. I see you, Jimmy. I see you at the Oilers. But do we see Stephanie Vaquer, Jordynne Grace, Ricky Saints in the main roster by middle of June? So Jordynne Grace is making main roster money. Ricky Saints, I had been told, well, they weren't going to have him go straight to the main roster because they had Mania plans figured out. And they wanted a big surprise when he showed up. Stephanie opted to go to NXT. I think we do. Corey Hayes has put out there that Jordynne Grace, Stephanie Vaquer are supposed to go to the main roster. They haven't been told that as of yet. That much I can tell you. But yeah, I think that we do. I mean, there ain't no reason for Jordynne Grace to have a studio apartment in Orlando right now. She should have been on the main roster anyway.
Let's talk about this. So Stephanie loses the title to JC Jane last night.
Let's get through these super. Hold on. Let's answer these. Okay. How's your JC Jane stock looking? What do you think of that NXT ending? Happy for JC, still in shock though. Stephanie's been one of the best signings the last 18 months. Put her in Money in the Bank, please. We will address all these, but Jimmy, please, please continue.
So she loses the title to JC Jane. Big, goes without saying, big upset. I love some of the looks on the faces of the live crowd when she lost. And then came the reports that she's headed to the main roster. Julia's already on SmackDown and in Money in the Bank, and Jordynne Grace as well. These are massive losses for NXT. If these three all leave at the same time, massive losses. But when I look at the list of other girls that they have, I want to ask you your thoughts on who do you think is going to be able to carry the load? Because I think some of these girls are more than capable. So JC Jane now is the champion. Sol Ruka is the North American champion. They got Kalani Jordan, Lash Legend, Jada Parker, Lola Vice, Nikita Lyons, Tatum Paxley, Wendy Chu, Fallon Henley, Zarya. They have a lot of girls that are up and coming. Who do you think? Because Stephanie was a made woman in NXT. She was the woman in NXT. Who fills the void with these three all leaving? And Roxanne's gone too. So who fills the void with these girls all leaving at the same time?
So I'd been told when Stephanie was popping up on Raw, they wanted her up there. Now, what's interesting is there is not an incredible number of like people who had have a lot of experience outside of WWE near the top of this NXT roster. Wendy Chu has plenty of experience, but they book her how they're booking her.
Yeah.
I think Zarya is one for sure. That is absolutely one. Sol Ruka is one that she could just be on the main roster right now.
Yeah, they're pushing incredible. The hell out of her. And she's the speed champion too.
Yes, she's phenomenal. She's so good. Her finisher looks incredible. I hate the finisher though.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I agree.
I think that Thea Hale's got something. She's going to find that thing that clicks. Rin Sinclair is one that I was pushing for NXT to sign since 2021. Since she was on AEW TV, I knew she was going to be a great NXT fit. I think that she's going to come along. I think sometimes you have to really push potential. Ariana Grace, when she comes back, I don't know about from a top of the card level thing, but it's she like is getting those reps. She's getting those reps in TNA for sure. Jada Parker showed that she can hang in with somebody that goes 110 miles an hour. I think that's important. Lola Vice, I think they just kind of got to figure out what they have with Lola Vice, because it's WWE doesn't seem to know how to book somebody who looks and performs like Lola Vice with the background of Lola Vice. Because I remember when people were like, oh, well, some of these new girls might come in and shoot on some of the NXT girls. And I said, good luck. Lola Vice will just beat them up, man. Like, I covered her MMA career, man. Like, she's fine. I think that they should probably send some people on the main roster down for some more visits. Like I have long thought Alpha Academy, Otis and Tozawa doing an NXT run and people realizing that Tozawa can really wrestle would be great. And then you get more reps for
Maxine.
Yeah, Maxine as well. But this is going to be an opportunity for an awful lot of WWE PC products to prove that they can go like Jordan, like Roxanne, like Stephanie, like Julia, because those four have been the focus and they made their names largely outside of WWE. And I just want to say this. JC Jane is somebody who I have been championing for over 2 years at this point. I saw her on an episode of SmackDown and liked her even before that, but I've mentioned this a million times. She and Gigi were on an episode of SmackDown and people liked Gigi as well, but they were raving about how well JC took to the bright lights of SmackDown and all that. And even if she's not going up, I think this is great. Go ahead, show people that she is that. So yeah, my JC Jane stocks are looking very good because you can't find a 2 month period where I haven't said on the air, she should get a lot better than.
And a lot of people, of course, a lot of people now, of course, are saying, oh, they're going to fill the void with Mariah May. I see that a lot online.
She shouldn't be in NXT either. She should be on the main roster immediately.
And she might resign with AEW. She might.
Yeah.
So it's too early to make suggestions like that.
We have a bunch of super chats, Jimmy. Don't know how long you can stay. But he says, what's up, you guys? Sending good vibes. Keep up the good work. Almost 4 months into training. About to make my wrestling referee debut in a month.
DJ Cass. Good luck. Hell good luck.
I love it. Here's what we need, DJ Cass. The next time I work a match, we will have you come and ref it, and then you just cheat. That's all I'm asking
for the other guy.
No. Jimmy sure gives still real to me, damn it, vibes, but he's right. When Roman turned heel, he wasn't out there giving out of character interviews. There was and is still that aura blurring shoot work. Roman also didn't have to balance a lot of Hollywood projects that are on the table as well. And that perception, but I get what you mean. I certainly get what you mean.
And Cena wasn't the one out there talking, just like how Roman wasn't out there talking. Rock and Hunter were the ones out there talking. And you know what? I am an old school fan. And you remember, again, Vince McMahon in the documentary saying, "We make movies." And you and I have talked about this, and I've always said wrestling is not the same. It's not the same as a movie. It's not the same as a television show. Because when people see Roman Reigns on the street, they don't say, "There's Joe Anoa'i." When they see him, they say, "There's Roman Reigns." That's the difference between pro wrestling and movies and film and television. And for me, in order to be able to suspend my disbelief and to be able to get sucked into a story, you need to just for 1 minute think it's real. Like, that's the way you get into it. It's the reason I was always a fan of Brock Lesnar. I know that he's not a name you like to mention anymore, but I was always a fan of Brock because when Brock's out there, it's not hard to suspend your disbelief that he's going to whip the guy's ass. When Cena turns heel and everybody's like, "Holy shit, that was amazing." And then 10 minutes later, The Rock's out there doing the scrum going, "Yeah, so we called John." And it's like, man, it does hurt it. It does. Like, I fully believe that.
Any word on when Jay White is returning? I haven't heard of anything imminent. Man was pretty banged up. I'll say that. He had more than one injury he was dealing with. Is Bea Priestley heading back to AEW? I have not heard that. That doesn't mean that she's not, but I haven't heard that. Have you heard anything about regarding SmackDown staying 3 hours into June? I'm actively working on that story. I've been poking around trying to find out what I can. I'm hopeful that I'll have something on Fightful Select in the next week or so. What's funny is All In will be better than any show WWE puts on. I expect it to be an incredible show. WWE is, putting some stuff up against it, and AEW is going to try to prove some points. Meet Normus says, "Lost a close friend a month ago today." Well, Meet Normus, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, you're a wonderful guy, and we appreciate you. He says, "From the SGS to Grapsity, you two have built a wonderfully positive and supportive group of sickos. $5.99 for scoops and silly therapy is a bargain. Cheers, boys." Yeah, I mean, first off, sending our love to you, Meet Normus. I am going to relearn how to cook this summer. You've inspired.
Is that him in the picture? Is that his friend in the picture?
I don't know if it's his friend in the picture. I don't know, but I know that's him on the right.
Well, maybe he can tell us.
Oh, but $5.99 indeed. Fight
that might have been Hobbs. It's hard for me to tell. That might have been Hobbs.
It does look a little bit like Hobbs.
The picture's this big.
I mean, that would also qualify as Meet Normus, but.
It is
$5.99 a month. Okay. FightfulSelect.com. If you're into this Q&A format, you're going to love FightfulSelect.com. We have a free injury update from AEW on the FightfulSelect.com free tier right now. I know a lot of you don't even know there is a free tier, but it's really great. You get some free stuff over there. Ibu Mania 414 says, "Sean Sapp, are we getting the same getting some huge surprises? Can you, anything you can divulge?" I don't know what you mean by huge surprises. I haven't heard of any.
Scoops, I guess.
Scoops. I mean, listen, every day we got scoops coming.
Maybe he means like a new talent, debuting in a company, that kind of thing.
Not that I've heard. Tech Club, but I don't think they know what they're doing yet there.
He says, Will's really pushing for AJ. He's been pushing for AJ a lot.
AJ Styles? Yeah, I just don't know when his contract's up.
Yeah.
He says, "I also recognize your dedication to Stairmaster, Big Gains, brother. One of the best decisions I ever made was paying a stupid amount of money for a Stairmaster because now I can't justify not doing it. But I hurt my wrist yesterday, so I have to take it."
I wondered if that was carpal tunnel or something.
No. Listen, Jimmy, I use that wrist too much for carpal tunnel.
Thought you were a righty, Sean.
I'm ambidextrous, buddy. You got to click with your right. Let's be real. Nicholas says, "Who do you think wins Money in the Bank? What's Peacock's reaction to WWE using PLEs? Peacock pays for it to counter when NXT. Peacock is also losing views." Well, I wouldn't. I also wouldn't put it past WWE to be like, hey, do you want a bonus show type of thing and just offer it to them? That type of thing has happened in the past. But Universal in the past has been like, hey, we don't care about you running against Wednesday, running Wednesdays against in AEW. So just go to Tuesdays. Who do I think wins Money in the Bank?
I'll give my pick.
Seth, go ahead.
You think Rollins?
I think Seth Rollins and Stephanie Vaquer. I think they'll have Stephanie pull double duty, AAA, and then come in and do Money in the Bank.
Interesting. So I'm going to go with LA Knight because LA Knight's cooled off. So I'm going to go with LA Knight. And I don't even know if she's in it or going to be in it, but Chelsea Green's made for that freaking
And she already case. Lost her qualifier, Jimmy, and she broke her face.
Maybe they could do another. She's made for that briefcase, man. She's made for it.
I know she is.
So I'm going to say maybe they give her a last chance. She gets in and she wins it. And LA Knight, man, think about where he was before the Roman match. You know, and I understand like that he had the U.S. title for a while. I get it. But
I don't think there's a chance. I don't think I would.
No,
I don't think so. Chad says WCW was far ahead in 97. And did their lowest mania buy or WWE did their lowest mania buy rate ever and were struggling. Bischoff got complacent and arrogant, kept going to the same well while WWE improved their product. I see a lot of similarities now with AEW and the WWE role. It's hard for me to believe that AEW will surpass WWE in that sense like WCW did, but they don't need to. I think that after a couple of years of them trying to do the WWE light thing and listening to what this is what you should be. Mm-hmm. You'll never win that way.
You got to remember, too, it's a different. I'm sorry, I was going to say the business has completely changed, completely different. And you have to remember the last number of years, WWE's numbers are down and they keep making more money. The last two years, AEW's numbers have been down and they're making more money. It's a different business model than it was back then. They really even can't be compared. So long as they can draw television eyeballs in the target demos, given that the rest of cable is dying out, they're going to make money. That's just how it is.
Matt says, the way I look at it, if you're an AEW fan, you'll watch All In. If you're a WWE fan, you'll watch the WWE show. If you're a fan of both, it depends. Yeah, I think it's a pretty easy way of putting it. I don't think it's going to hurt AEW that much. I mean, maybe ticket sales was how, because if people choose to go to Atlanta, they're going for three shows. You know what I mean? Mm. Like they're going for an awful lot of that. I do think it will hurt them in that way. Chances AJ goes to AEW. We all know Will wants him. I haven't heard about his contract yet. I've been trying. I've definitely been trying. It's time Gregory Helms theme. I would use it for wrestler hip hop. Do you all enjoy it? Sean is always kind. I can't remember his specific theme. Let me look.
I'm just thinking the Hurricane.
Yeah, but
I know that he was. Yeah,
I've got it pulled up. Hold on. Theme. I remember it. It was on Volume 7. It was a good one, huh?
He had music on Volume 7?
Yeah.
Greg Helms did, really?
Yes. Huh. I mean, he got a big push, if you remember. He was Cruiserweight Champion for like a year. He was involved in that great Survivor Series squash match with the Hardys, DX, and CM Punk. Oh, so good.
My favorite is still Matt Hardy needing to lose weight. That was my favorite.
Kenny G says, AEW is having 2 4-hour blocks soon. Thoughts? It's going to be a late post show, especially with Alex on those bad boys. But from what I've heard, they're going to put some pretty important stuff on them. It's not going to be a throwaway. This is going to be something that I think that they're going to try to put a lot into and help use it to build All In. Listen, it's a part of their deal with WBD. That's what's paying the bills right now. So got to do it.
Do you think that they go with Hangman, or do you think that they're really going to wait on Darby?
They need to go with Hangman.
I agree.
Need to go with Hangman. And listen, all due respect to Darby. Darby has not been here through the majority of the Death Riders build.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris says, you know what's going on with Camille and AEW? Does she have heat? Or are they letting her contract run out? They're going to be waiting a long time if that's the case. I don't know if there's heat. Usually that's something I would hear about by now if there was heat. it's something that would have came to me, but I can't believe they've just kept her on the bench for 6 months. Like, I don't, it's it. I hate it. I don't like it. This is one of the things that AEW does that I am not keen on. I don't like it when they do that with almost anybody. I think it's a waste of time, money, and a career. And it's just very frustrating. WWE feels more of a big ad than actual wrestling. We've certainly seen a lot more of that. Jimmy,
Saturday's main event was, I'll tell you that.
It's motivated me to do a lot less plugs near the start of our shows now, and I'll just wait for a smooth transition at some other point of our show. It's made me be like, okay, got to chill on that. Matt Hennessy says, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Nick Khan ain't perfect. They have their flaws, both from creative and business standpoint. The company has been in a good place even with its flaws. It's infinitely more enjoyable to me, even during a creative lull, than it was when Vince ran it. Because at least more of it makes sense, Jimmy. Like, it was just, it was insulting to watch sometimes under, oftentimes under Vince.
Yeah, it's like you'll see stuff that's boring, but then there'll be one thing that's kind of, that keeps you interested. You know, like adding Bronson Reed to Rollins' group, I thought was very interesting. There's, you know, and I've always liked Tiffany. I think Tiffany and Nia actually crushed it last week when Nia took that chair shot. So there's always something interesting happening, but then there's other stuff. Uninspired, again, is a good word to use. So you have to kind of just navigate it.
They usually have at least one really fire or intriguing angle. And then the rest of it's like, okay.
Right.
Here's an interesting one. For Jimmy, has there been a discussion about a too good to be true number to sell Fightful? And are you ready for a repeat of the Cup Finals?
Okay. So am I ready for a repeat of the Cup Finals? Yes. If you are a fan of hockey, they just lost one of their best players to injury, Zach Hyman. That's going to hurt them. But I do believe if they get to the finals with the Florida Panthers, the Oilers are going to whip some ass in the finals this year. Discussion, true number to sell Fightful. Without going into great detail.
Hyman's been broken, by the way. Hate to hear that.
There you go. There you go. Sean and I had this discussion one time about Fightful. And he knows that there's a certain number that I would probably require to even consider it. It's not something I've actively ever looked for, because this is something I do, you know, for fun. So I've never actively looked, but Sean and I have had that talk, and we did talk about there'd be a certain number. If somebody came along, then I would consider it, and Sean would definitely get his cut too. But not something I've actively looked at.
I've always been loyal, like, to my team, because I've been pretty transparent. If I told our entire team of 40 to piss off, I could probably make way more money than I do now. And that's not something that I didn't necessarily need. What I like is our team and all that. And any sale, I'm sure some of it would be contingent on whether or not I stay, what kind of deal that I have, whether I would go, or if they'd want to acquire it in name only, what they would be cool with me doing afterwards. Because for anybody that says, oh, you want to work for this wrestling company, why would I want to work for a wrestling company? Why on earth would I want to do that? Seeing how I conduct myself on social media sometimes, what could I provide to another company? What could I provide to Sports Illustrated, ESPN, anybody like that, of which a couple of which we have had conversations with. Jimmy and I even had conversations with one of them. But it's, I really love what we do here. There are things we need to do better. I want us to monetize our Facebook. If anybody can get us in touch with a human, TikTok, Instagram, all that. We got somebody helping us with sponsors. We are about to migrate our website. Thank God.
That's taking time. I think I'm waiting on you. I think
I'm ready to. Listen, I'm waiting on your boy that's been coding the thing.
I think he's waiting for you.
That's ironic. Anyway, there are a lot of possible factors in that. Sam says, as a WWE fan, I don't understand the outrage about WWE shows on the same weekend as All In. If your show is good, shouldn't matter. If your show is as good as you think it is, just insecurities. Well, I mean, listen, Sam, I could play the Uno reverse here. If WWE's program is as good and as powerful as they think it is, why do they need to counter program? Much less being like, let's do three shows up against them that weekend. You know what I mean?
I think it's AEW fans that just don't want to see AEW get hurt because they're already the underdog, right? So they don't want to see them get hurt.
Sure.
But you're not going to get hurt. It's here's the thing too, is a lot of the fan base is not the same. And we've talked about this, right? Like, I'll give you an example. Kenny Omega in Anarchy of the Arena calls for new music, right? And they play I'm So Excited. I saw so many people online crapping all over that. And I thought to myself, no, but I thought to myself, but maybe you're not the target fan. Maybe you're not, you know, the niche fan, because clearly some people liked it.
It was an inside joke. It was an inside joke based on them using it for 1 week as the Dynamite theme. They already paid for the rights for it, so why not use it? I thought it was very-
I would bet money, and maybe you can find this out. I would bet money that song is there because Tony Khan loved Beverly Hills Cop.
I think Pointer Sisters was. I don't think that song wasn't.
Maybe I'm thinking of.
I've watched Beverly Hills Cop over 100 times.
Yeah, I've seen it a bunch too. I also want to mention, along the same vein as what I talked about with what Kenny Omega did, Ricochet. I see Ricochet. I see him get a lot of hate online, and I'll be the first to say I hate his Twitter game. The guy's like 37, and he acts like he's 12. No, but I don't like it.
It's a character. It's kayfabe.
No, because
it is a character.
Before he turned heel, he was doing this. He was arguing with trolls and doing all this shit before he ever turned heel.
Setting the stage, Jimmy.
I don't think so. I don't like it. But let me say this. For people that crap on Ricochet in terms of what he's doing in AEW, whatever, think about where he was when he left WWE and think about where he is now. When he left WWE, he wasn't on the PLEs. He sure as hell wasn't winning on the PLEs. He wasn't getting promo segments. Now he's on the pay-per-views. He's winning matches on the pay-per-views, and he's getting promo segments. So if you actually think that he's in a worse spot now than he was when he left WWE, you're blinded by your anti-AEW sentiment, I guess is all I can say. He's in a much better spot now than he was when he left the WWE. It's not even close. So whether you like him or not, he's in a much better spot. Much better. I have to jet now, but I forgot the time.
Guys, I'm going to hang around here and answer your questions. Jimmy can get the hell out of here. I'm kicking him off my show. There we go. But I'm here. Look at this. And I'm so excited that I'm doing this new frame. In my opinion, Joel Wood says, Raw has been generally consistent. NXT is what it is. I think SmackDown needs a hot main event angle like Raw. Maybe Cody returning will help, but the main event scene is a chore. I would agree with that. Like, Raw being a little bit shorter also helps. NXT, listen, the PLEs are always good. Sometimes NXT can be a little bit of a chore to watch for me, like from a promo standpoint, from a backstage segment standpoint. Not always, but sometimes. I think the announcing is actually underrated. I enjoyed Booker T, like, condoning and encouraging Trick Williams to do the spin-a-rooney. But by and large, I've enjoyed Raw lately. I thought this week was very good, actually. So enjoying that an awful lot. Guys, I'm going to catch my breath here, collect a few more super chats and humper chats while you hear from our wonderful partners at Blue Chew.
We need to talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business. Doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So, here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door, but mailman's not going to know what's in that package, but somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com.
Gotta love that B-roll that Blue Chew provided us. They really understood the assignment when I wanted to do some pre-recorded videos. Arduit says, not a shot at the actual wrestlers under the Fed banner, but AEW feels more genuine. With the counter programming and everything political they stick with, the Fed feels gross and kind of, I don't know, evil. Well, certainly, historically, it has leaned that way, largely because of the man who runs it. Vince McMahon is an evil man. That's it. There are plenty of people that had nice experiences with him, but he doesn't seem like a good dude. That's it. I can tell you there have been a number of times, and again, I have had a few interactions with Triple H, and he's been kind to me in those interactions. We had one saucy interaction, but other than that, pretty cool to me. Nick Khan's office has been pretty cool to me, but I also understand the way they do things. Tony Khan's been very kind as well. New Japan, very kind as well. Really depends on situations and contexts, but there have been a lot of people that probably aren't happy with Tony Khan benching them for months and months and months and wouldn't agree with that. You know what I mean? It's all dependent on your experience. Will we ever see AEW Dark again? There are a lot of people that have wanted AEW Dark back, but it's all a matter of schedule. I think that they have been keen on not bringing in those like 4 or 5 hour schedules. Also, if you're not making money on Dark and you don't have a path to it, what are you using it for? Library, to get wrestlers reps, to get them some wins for their records, to get looks at underneath talent? What are you using it for? It will all come down to that. Nico says, I think NXT's top stars could become Sol Ruka, Lola Vice, Zarya, Jada Parker, and Rin Sinclair. I think those, along with JC and Kalani, are good shouts, to be honest with you. I think those are, and especially if you really, really let him wrestle, I think Ren is just has all the character opportunity in the world. Like, she is so good. She is so, she's really quick and witty and funny. And that carries you a long way when. That's not a lot of people have to be coached through their promos and a lot of stuff like that. And I don't know what the extent of hers is there, but even when she was on the indies as Maddie Rinkowski and she did main character, whatever the hell it was phenomenal. It was so good. Wish she would bring that back as well. She's excellent. Very good. When they got a "This is awesome" chant for the face off between Stephanie and Io before their match on Raw, you knew Stephanie wasn't long for NXT. I think even by then, they kind of knew that they wanted to bring her up. I think even by then, they had the idea and they were like, yeah, let's go ahead and do that. And she wanted to, I mean, they wanted her to come to the main roster, but they gave her the option and she picked to go to NXT. Could see Mariah May taking NXT top spot with the big three of Vicara, Julia, and Grace heading to the main roster. Here's why I think this would be a mistake. If you are signing somebody from AEW who has been a top AEW star, here's what you have to weigh. Do you want to be petty and put them on NXT when clearly they know how to work TV? They know how to work on they. Mariah May's work is great. Or should you immediately debut them as a top star on Raw and SmackDown and immediately have a top person? I think it should be the latter. Forget about your petty little, oh, we're going to put them on NXT because they were an AEW thing. Do the right thing and put her in a top angle on Raw or SmackDown and immediately tell your audience she is important and somebody you need to take seriously. Why is Ludwig Kaiser being benched? I don't know. He's been on main event a couple times. He does the international commercials on Raw, but he should be used a lot more. And if Gunther doesn't win the title match, I think that they should go into a feud with one another. Any update on AAA besides Alberto losing? So that's one we had reported last week. Again, I will encourage anybody that speaks Spanish, follow Fightful Select Espanol. Follow our Fightful Espanol Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Luis is doing a lot of really great coverage on that. From what I heard, there have definitely been some people, and we reported this on Select Espanol last week, there have been some people there that have been kind of knocked down a couple pegs. And WWE has been sending their agents there to kind of report back on things. So that's something that we are keeping an eye on. Obviously, AAA hasn't been my beat for the last number of years, but I'm working on it. Working on it. Any thoughts on Deonna's tweet, miss her on TV? I've got an interview in the can with her from like a month ago that I haven't run yet. Cardona is going to run this week, but She wants to be used. She wants to perform. She's open to being in a tag team. She wants to wrestle. That's it. She wants to wrestle. What worse worries is that Mox tapped to Joe. He lost Anarchy in the Arena. If Blood and Guts happens, they lose. Can't see Mox losing it all in. Losing four big matches would be against how Tony books his champions. I understand that concern. I certainly understand that concern. But it's time to move past this angle. Now, I want to say this. This Death Riders thing has been exponentially better over the last couple months. Way, way better. And a lot of that has been, well, they're building to this big matchup at Anarchy in the Arena. And it made sense. It's an Anarchy in the Arena that wasn't just thrown together. It was people that made sense to do it with. So I think that that was a big part of the improvement. Now, that being said, it's time for Jon Moxley to lose that. It really is. Hangman is the right guy. And then you got to have your next up for Hangman right after that. Will ROH ever get a TV deal? They had some talks. Again, it's a story I've been working on for quite a while. They had some talks. It didn't end up happening. Tony has an amount that he thinks that ROH should get, but they have not shown the care for ROH to make it justify any particular amount. It's just, it is a hypothetical at this stage. Why do you think Ospreay and Hangman wanted the other to win? I don't know if they wanted the other to win. They certainly pushed and advocated for the other one to win because they are selfless. I know there's a lot of people, and I had a conversation with my friend Ibu about it. This wasn't like a thing that was put out there by AEW, but you know, there were a lot of people that felt like, oh, well, they should push for themselves and all that. I just think it showed some selflessness. Will there be more WWE ID signings? There will be. There will be. That is the plan. I thought that they would already have happened by now. And I say this. It's a good thing that at least one of the talent that were told that they should wait until after Mania to sign somewhere didn't wait. Andrew says, the biggest problem with the SmackDown main event scene is Cena and his heel character comes off as a lame Naito. It really does come off as a lame Naito. Doesn't seem like they have put enough care, or it doesn't seem like he's bought into it. It's went beyond generic and it's stripped it down even lower as like, oh, well, I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction of this. Also doesn't help that the crowd isn't playing their part. I really thought the crowd would play the part and boo him. But now he's got to overcome that as well as the lame duck writing and the lame duck performing as well. Do you think AEW will do a blood and guts match on Summer Blockbuster Show? Perfect way to fill up that 4-hour block. I think it's quite possible. Yeah. I'll see what I can find out. I haven't heard it, but that would make a lot of sense, right? 4-hour show, you really give them something that's a crazy show. My God, I'm going to be on the air till 2 in the morning that night. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. But also, if you do that, I mean, first off, probably going to have to go 45 minutes to an hour. So you're going to have something else big on that show. Think Julia's Marigold screwed up a lot of plans for Julia in NXT? I don't think so. What do you mean? I don't think so. I don't think it really affected it. She just wanted to do that. It was important to her. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. We greatly appreciate it. I am back here tonight for AEW. And we have a free update on FightfulSelect.com for you guys, an injury update. We're putting together another big update. And quite frankly, I have so many Fightful Select stories to write. It's insane. I missed your super chat. Cool fool. I thought I read your super chat. And by God, you know what? I will go back and find it right now, but I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I read that one. Why is Ludwig Kaiser being benched? I mentioned some of the stuff that he was doing. I read that one. Got to scroll back a little bit, buddy. Got to scroll back a dog. Oh, well, by God, I mean her injury. Oh, okay. Yeah, she was held out of, she was held out of training for a while. I don't know necessarily why. So, but it's one of those things where, it was a precautionary thing from what I understood. Oh, here's a good one. This smart ass. How long do I have to wait to share your stories? Don't want to get hate DMs. Listen, if you are so much of a little bitch that you cannot handle me saying, hey man, can you not share our paywalled stories less than a minute after they're published and show some common courtesy? Then I don't want you subscribing to my service. Support original creators or just watch this free stuff. That's it. Otherwise, you're just using what we worked hard on for engagement bait. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about the gentleman who I messaged very kindly and asked that. And he said, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Didn't know there was a period I needed to wait. I said, there's nothing in our terms of service, but it's just common courtesy. Common courtesy for aggregators who did not do the work that I did, we did, our teams did, that immediately go out and aggregate our stuff without doing any work and try to reap the benefits for those ever decreasing Elon bucks. So this gentleman acted one sort of way to me in the DMs. It was respectful. It ended fine. Then he immediately went and did a show whining, complaining and saying, oh, we don't care about you. We care about your information. I don't give a fuck. A fuck what you like. If you subscribe to the service, whatever. Just don't be an asshole about it. Then he had his buddy do it, say the same thing, as if it's called Sean Ross Sap Select instead of Fightful Select. DJ Wavy says, not subscribe to your journalism in the first place, you bum. Well, guess what, Playboy? Ain't nobody subscribed to your shit. Let's look up DJ Wavy D right here on the air. Let's look up and see how many people are subscribed to DJ Wavy D. I can't even find anything because there are numerous more famous DJ Wavies out there than this guy. DJ Wavy D, guess whose stream you're on right now? Ya boys. Guess whose stream nobody's on? Yours. Hate to tell you. Hit the bricks, little man. Listen, you better come with some facts if you're going to come with me for the Sean Rossap jumped in my DMs. Anybody that said that, anybody that says Sean Rossap jumped in my DMs, go say what for. And then they're going to show you something that they probably either deleted or something else. Because if I'm in somebody's DMs, they did something. They did something. Enjoy your three viewers on your concurrent stream that you do this week. I'm sure this is the highlight. See, here's the thing. You need what we do. I don't need DJ Wavy D and what he does. You'll make videos about this. I ain't ever going to think about you again after today. Hate to tell you. Is Elon really paying less? Oh my God. Way less. Way less. What's Elijah Holyfield's name in NXT? And how's he doing? I covered his high school football career when I did broadcasting. Meet Normus, did you? That's cool as hell. Let me see. His name is... What is his NXT name? He was on the Bengals a couple years ago as well. I don't think he's got like a different name, does he? He shouldn't. You need to lean into Elijah Holyfield. For sure need to lean into Elijah Holyfield. Crash override. Sean jumped in mine once. We had a very respectable combo. It was over and that was it. Here's my approach. At what point did interacting with someone directly become the weird thing? As opposed to, oh no, I'm going to do a separate YouTube video and tweet about this guy and quote tweet him for attention. When did, At what point as a society did approaching someone directly, whether it be to say, go fuck yourself, or what's the issue? At what point did approaching someone directly become the weird thing? You always see that on Reddit too. People say, oh, well, he's known to jump in the DMs. You're goddamn right I am. You're goddamn right I am, because I don't say anything to or about someone that I don't expect them to come back and say to me. So you don't want me in your DMs, just shut up about me. Go talk about somebody else. That's it. I'm just happy I got the reply to put some clarity on the thing with Eddie Kingston. So that's something I'll talk about. We do still have a few more super chats, humper chats. And listen, I love Eddie Kingston. He's always been a good dude to me. But he posted like an aggregation of our Ospreay Hangman story and said, he's like, we know who leaked this. And called him a jerk off. And I was like, well, first off, listen. No, you don't. All due respect, Eddie. Nobody does. the source guessing in wrestling, 95% wrong. And that includes wrestlers too. And I messaged him. And I was like, hey, man, I saw your post about this. It's an inaccurate aggregation, but I never run anything with just one source. And I said, but if you have any questions within reason, I'm happy to answer. Hope you're healing up well. I'll tell you who didn't jump on my Facebook or YouTube stream crying and whining and saying, oh no, Sean is in my DMs. Eddie Kingston didn't bitch about it. You know what he said? Quote, yo, my dude, I have no idea who talked to you. I was just being a dick. Wanted to see who would maybe put themselves out by asking if I am talking about them. But for real, the only thing that got me mad was a friend calling me a gatekeeper, and I have no idea what that means. My bad if I caused you problems. You can quote me if you want. You want to know why? Because Eddie Kingston's a fucking man. That's why. He's not a whiny little baby who is upset when somebody says something to them directly or approaches them directly. He's a fucking man. That's it. You've had me say the F word more on this stream than any. Jumped in Sean's IG DMs over getting towed. Oh, boy. Is Mariah May benched? Thought for sure she would have been a perfect return for Double or Nothing with Tony versus Mina. I did, too. So right now, there's not a ton of information on whether or not they are benching her or if she just doesn't want to wrestle while she's waiting her contract out. Did she ask for a release? Any of that? I don't necessarily have that information. I'm going to lean more into it. I feel like it'll be easier for me to get that information now that Double or Nothing is over. But that one's a little bit tougher. But I think that they could have brought her in. I know that it's also a very perfect ending to have Mariah May beat her or Toni Storm beat her. But if I were AEW, if Mariah May is willing to work, I would have her come back before the contract is up, and I would have Mina Shirakawa beat her, because that would be a big win for Mina Shirakawa. And if there's one thing that Mariah May would be willing to do there, not to say she's unwilling to do anything, probably be losing to Mina Shirakawa. Talking about her broken wrist, she got a Marigold that took her out for months in 2024. For some reason, I thought you were talking about the injury earlier this year. That's how, man, it feels like the last 2 years have been 1 year. I don't think that necessarily affected too much with her NXT run, Misfit. I don't think so. I could be wrong there, but they still got to do a lot of what they wanted to do. I think that her not being able to train or not them not having her train earlier this year abbreviated things way more. Sean, do you think the women of AEW would get a blood and guts match? If so, what would your teams be? Oh, man. Right now, I don't think that there is a good fit for that. I really don't. I think that it's got to be in emotion, right? And I think that they had an okay one with like Outcasts and those new bully styles against some of the originals. You do have enough talent to do it. You've got Britt Baker, you've got Thunder Rosa, Willow, Stat, Tony, Athena, if you wanted to throw Mariah in there. But you've got a ton of people, Megan Bain. You've got well enough people to do it. It's just, I don't think that there's an appropriate story right now to do that. And I think that is the biggest hurdle in that right now. That is the biggest thing preventing any of that from happening. So it's something that a lot of people have wanted, but I think this year, yeah, Sky, Julia, Anna J, there's tons. Deanna Purrazzo, Taya. It's just, I don't think that the story is there right now. Guys, we went 90 plus minutes today. I appreciate you all so much. This was a really busy day here, and I got to work on a Fightful Select story now. Please check that out. FightfulSelect.com is our lifeblood. We really appreciate that. But Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, we're on all those. I am using Facebook now. So if you want to look up Sean Ross Sapp, Facebook.com/SeanRossSapp over there. Give me some love. Help us out. We would really appreciate that as well. As well as Fightful Espanol, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Luis has got those fired up. Until next time, we're out.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.